Well, good evening to everyone as we have gathered again on this Sunday evening, August 2020, in our evening service. We're meeting over Zoom as we are doing these days in our evening services. And I trust that you would be blessed by God's words and that your heart will be encouraged. We have been looking at some parables in our evening services, and today we have come to a parable in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22 is a parable of the marriage feast. And as I was looking at this parable and preparing for today, I wanted to ask some of you, those of you who are married, to send in your beautiful wedding pictures that we can see. But that's okay. We were kind of rearranging our living space yesterday, and we hung up a very huge frame of a wedding photo on one of our cabinets in the living room. And it's hovering over me right now. So weddings are wonderful. And the best part of the wedding for me is the marriage vows, when the couples all hand together and commit themselves to each other for life. And so today we are looking at a wedding, a marriage feast. And in this parable in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, there are two parts to this parable. In verses 1 to 9, the parable talks about the rejection of the king's son. Those who were invited to the wedding rejected the invitation of the king. In the second part of this parable, verse 10 to verse 13, we have the situation where a guest at the wedding was kicked out because he was not wearing the proper garment for the wedding. And then in verse 14, the end of the parable, Jesus makes the application of the parable in verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. So the parable of the marriage feast, Matthew chapter 22. It's a beautiful parable. And this parable here tells us of the fact that the kingdom of God has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. And there are some who will receive the kingdom, and there are others who will reject the kingdom of God. That's the gist of this parable here. Now, just one thing about the custom in that day about marriages and weddings or banquets. Just want to say that banquets are often held in the evening. Now, my wife and I, we had, I think, an early afternoon wedding. There are some people who have morning weddings, others have evening weddings. But back in Jesus' day, most banquets were held in the evening. And here is something that would shock you, maybe not. Only men were actually invited to such a banquet. Only men were invited. And this is how it takes place. This is a procedure. This is a protocol. The host of the banquet or the wedding feast would send two invitations to his guests. He would send the first invitation, and then the second invitation, he would send out his guests, or his slaves, rather, to remind his guests of the wedding. In fact, he would send them on the very day of the wedding. And this was a kind of way to show respect. And the second invitation, it's a kind of way to show respect, especially among those of high society in the day of Jesus Christ. And we see this actually happening right here in our parable. You would see that there are two invitations that are sent out, actually three. But the first two invitations are the one which really apply to banquets in the day of Jesus Christ. The host will send out the first invitation. The people would RSVP and say, yes, they're coming. But on the actual day of the banquet, the host will send out the slaves to remind them of the wedding. Now, this parable of the wedding feast is also mentioned in Luke chapter 14. And there are some who believe that Jesus Christ said this parable on a different occasion because maybe for a different purpose. So you can read it in Luke chapter 14 on a different occasion. In Luke chapter 14, you find those who were invited, they make excuses as to why they couldn't come to the wedding banquet. But we are sticking this evening in Matthew chapter 22. So let's read the parable and we'll come back to the details and then we'll look at the application. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. And they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set the city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord. So let us look at this parable. And again, there are two parts to this parable. But let us say a word of prayer before we continue. I should pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your kingdom that has come in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for calling us into your kingdom, and we thank you for choosing us that we can be part of your kingdom. Thank you for giving us faith to believe in you. Bless your words to our hearts this evening, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the first part of this parable, those who rejected the invitation of the king. So it begins that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding for his son. So the first thing we notice here is that this is not an ordinary wedding. It is a wedding of a king. It is a royal wedding. And I don't know who will actually refuse the invitation, any invitation for a royal wedding. Could you imagine you receiving an invitation to Princess Di's wedding many years ago? You would have jumped on that plane right away and fly to England. because it's a royal wedding. So Jesus here is comparing the kingdom of God to a king who gave a feast or wedding feast to his son or for his son. And so notice the invitation was sent out. So in verse 3 it says, notice, he sent out his slaves or servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were willing to come. So notice that this is the second invitation that is sent out. They were already invited, and it seems as if they had accepted the invitation. They RSVP positively. They were planning to attend, it seems, that this wedding. Because notice verse 3 says, he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited. So this is not the first invitation, this is the second. But it says that they were unwilling to come. Somewhere along the line, they changed their minds. They didn't want to come. They refused. They rejected the final invitation to attend the wedding. Now notice in verse 4, it says again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat and livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. So he sent out different sets of slaves in different places. Maybe, invitees lived in different parts of the city. And so he had to send out different groups of slaves in different places to remind them of this wedding feast. Everything was prepared. Notice, my oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Now, before we continue this parable, I want to remind us of the previous parable in this chapter that we saw last week, the parable of the husbandman who rented out his land to the vine growers and he expected them to produce fruit and so on. And they did not, and yet he did not immediately get rid of them. And one of the things that we are learning in this parable is that God is a God of patience, and He's a God who is a good God. And this is one of the lessons that Jesus Christ wants us to see in this parable here. That God is long-suffering. That He is good and He's patient and He's kind. So coming back to the parable, we're told in verse 5, the reason why they rejected the invitation. Notice it says in verse 5, but they paid no attention and went their way, one to his farm, another to his business. So the first class of invitees, they paid no attention. They went their own way, one to the farm, another to the business. They all went to take care of their own affairs. In other words, they were preoccupied with their own business and they wanted nothing to do with the king's invitation. They rejected it. Notice the second class, how they responded to the invitation. They made light of that invitation, but even worse, they acted in a very dreadful manner. Notice in verse 6, the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. So they acted worse than the first. They killed the slaves. Now, why do they kill the slaves? Well, it seems as if the slaves remained there And they were pressing the message to these invitees, and maybe they got upset and they decided to kill these slaves. They would prefer to be preoccupied with their own possessions and acquisitions, their own affairs, their own property and trading and enjoyments, their desires and aims, but they want nothing to do with the king's invitation. Now, we have not come to the application of this parable here, but I want to go ahead and say that there are many people today who are preoccupied with their own businesses and they want nothing to do with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are people who are preoccupied with their career, with their jobs, with their education, with their homes, with the things of this world. They are preoccupied with things of this world and they reject God's invitation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we move on and press on in this parable. And I want you to notice that the king became very upset. Of course, he was enraged. He was enraged because of what happened to his slaves and the fact that they rejected him. So in verse 7, the king was enraged and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Now I want us to go back to verse 6 because what happens here in verse 6 is not a mild, easy, or something that we should just pass over here. It's not that they only rejected the king's invitation. The sin that they actually committed here is actually the sin of rebellion. The sin of rebellion. It wasn't only murder. They murdered the slaves because they rebelled against the king. They rebelled against not just an ordinary person, but they rebelled against the sovereign. And that's what sin is. Sin is always rebellion against the sovereign Lord of the universe. Sin is always rebellion against the long-suffering and the grace of God. And so the king was enraged, verse 7, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Well, someone may ask the question, why would the king set the city on fire? Well, remember, it's a parable, and we'll come back to see what this really means in the history of Israel, God's people. And so the king punished these rebels. And then in verse 8, the king now, he called his slaves again because the banquet hall is still empty. Right, the party must go on, but the invite is rejected, and so the hall is still empty, and so the king has to fill the hall with people. And so therefore in verse 8, he called his slaves again, and he said to them, in verse 8, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. No, I'll underline that word worthy. Right? They're not worthy. Verse 9, go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Now let me say something about this here. You notice that in verse 8 it says that those who were invited first, they made themselves unworthy of attending the banquet. Well, the king in verse 9, he sent the slaves to people who you would consider unworthy to be part of a royal banquet. See, those whom he sent, those in the main highways, right? The homeless people, those on the street, and those who are on the outcasts of society. See, invite as many as you find there. Invite to the wedding feast. Notice verse 8. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner. Yes. So now the hall is filled. And these guests who were invited to the wedding were supposed to collect a special wedding garment to wear at this banquet. Each of them should have a wedding garment. They were given a wedding garment to enter into the banquet hall. But notice that this was a last minute thing here, right? The slaves went out at the last minute, the 11th hour, to call these guests. They were not given invitations, remember, months ahead. This is a last moment. This is something that is done quickly. All these guests were hurriedly rushed into the banquet hall. And so we come to the second part of the parable. In verse 11, it says, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, right? So this king came in and he walked around the hall. He looked over the wedding guests. And then his eye fell upon a particular person. He saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. This man was not wearing the garment that was necessary for this particular banquet. And so he was in trouble. What does the king do? The king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. That is, cast him out of the banquet hall into the darkness. Remember, banquets were held in the evening, and so this man was kicked out of the lighted hall, and he was thrown out into the darkness. Now, this may sound very harsh, but that's just the parable. That's what it says. Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's an echo of the place that Jesus says the devil will go. The place that was prepared for Satan. The place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the lake of fire. And then Jesus makes the application, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, let us first of all seek to interpret this parable and then apply it. Let's see who the king is in this parable. Who are the invitees? Who are the slaves? Who is the son in this parable here? Well, the king in this parable is, of course, God himself. And the son is Jesus Christ. All right, the king is God, and the son is Jesus Christ. Now, the wedding feast that is mentioned here is often used in the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, the wedding feast, as a picture of God's kingdom. A picture of God's kingdom. Notice in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 6. Just quickly turn there. To see how God's kingdom is compared to a banquet. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. Notice what it says. I'm turning there. And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. Right? So in the Old Testament, God's kingdom is Symbolized in the form of a banquet, in fact, a lavish banquet with wine and all good things. Then in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 19, I want to read more of this chapter here, Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. This is the consummation of the age. When this banquet is consumed at the end of the age, Jesus Christ returns and he meets the bride, the church, and there is this great feast. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. After these things, I heard, as it were, a loud voice of great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his born servants on her." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his born servants, you who fear him, the small and the great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." So you see in the Bible, the marriage supper, this great wedding banquet, is a picture of Christ and his church coming together. It is a picture of the joy and bliss that God and his children enjoys together in true fellowship and in true relationship. And so in our parable here, the great banquet speaks of our relationship with Jesus Christ, coming to him by faith, receiving him, receiving the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Now, the invitees in this parable, the first class of people, are those who were God's people, covenant people in the Old Testament. That's how I understand it to be. God's covenant people in the Old Testament. They rejected God's call to them. God's people in the Old Testament, particularly the leaders of Israel in the Old Testament, they rejected God's offer of salvation. These are the chosen, invited guests, God's ancient covenant people. To them, God had first sent under the Old Testament his wonderful message. And although they had not given heed to his call, God sent a second class of, when I say second, not second class, but a second class of messengers. These are the slaves in the New Testament. Right? So the first class of people are those in the Old Testament. The second invitation would be those in the New Testament. Both classes rejected the invitation. In fact, in the New Testament, they actually murdered God's son, of course. They killed him, the Lord Jesus Christ. even though the message went out in the New Testament, that the meal is ready. That's what we read in verse 2. It says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they weren't willing to come. And he sent out other slaves. Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. It is ready. The first coming of Jesus Christ. And then God sent out again his invitation to come to Christ, to trust in him. But they refused. Now, the text that we kind of were hit very hard by is the one in verse 7, when it says, the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. What is he talking about here? Well, the interpretation of this text is what happened to Jerusalem in AD 70. The judgment that came upon the city when the Romans came and they routed and destroyed the temple. God's army, notice it says in verse 7, but the king was enraged and he sent his armies. So the Romans were actually God's instrument of judgment in AD 70. And God often uses nations as his instruments to punish even his people, as we saw this morning in our message from Habakkuk, when God says that he will raise up the Babylonians. So all of those nations in the Old Testament that captured and captivated Israel, beginning with the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Romans, they were all raised up by God. They were instruments in the hands of God. And if we may spiritualize this in saying that Satan himself is really an instrument in the hands of God, because Satan cannot do anything apart from what God allows him to do. He's just an instrument in the hands of God to discipline his children, to discipline his people. And that is what verse 8 is all about. Sorry, verse 7. It speaks of the destruction of the temple in AD 70. In fact, Matthew chapter 24, two chapters ahead of chapter 22 here in this parable, that is what Jesus Christ is referring to in Matthew chapter 24. It's a historical event. So there you go. The King, God, the Son, Jesus Christ, the invitees, God's covenant people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and the burning of a city is the routing of Jerusalem. But we come further down now to verse 10, where it says that those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. So these here, whom the slaves went out to meet and call in the highways and byways, they were those who were unworthy. But the invitation went out to all, the good and the bad. And this invitation here is really the gospel message. The gospel message goes out to all, to good and the bad, those on the highways and the byways. This gospel message must not be hidden from anyone. It must be proclaimed to the homeless, the rich, and the poor. It is a message for all people, everywhere and at all times. And so we are bidden by God to go into the highways and byways. And the highways and byways today are not necessarily the 401 or the 400 or the 409. The highways and the byways would be anywhere. It could be our workplace, our homes, wherever God we are. This message should be proclaimed. We are the messengers, we are those whom God has given this message to go out into the streets and to tell others about the kingdom of God. But then the king comes in verse 11, and he looked over the dinner guests and he saw a man not dressed in wedding clothes. What was the problem here? Well, this man didn't have the right dress. He was not fully prepared. And I believe the wedding garments here is a type of the righteousness of God. And this is the only way that we can be acceptable in the eyes of God, is only by having been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not in our own righteousness, not in our own garments, but in that which God himself has prepared for us. And that reminds us, you know, way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they tried to cover their sins with fig leaves, and God clothed them. He clothed them with his own righteousness, as it were. And that is the only way we can be acceptable to him. And then the Bible says that the king said to this man in verse 12, "Friend." Here we see again the great compassion of God. You recall Jesus Christ when he spoke to Judas? Jesus called him a friend. He said, "Friend, do what you must do." This is the great love of God. And so even here, Jesus says to this person, the king says to this man, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So there are two places here that one can go. One can either be part of the wedding banquet or in a place of utter darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is the point of this parable here? What is the lesson Jesus is proclaiming? Well, the lesson is given in verse 14. Many are called, but few are chosen. And even though there are two parts to this parable, this lesson must be applied to both parts. So in the first part of this parable, with reference to those who rejected the invitation, they were all called to the wedding, and they rejected. But the point is, they were all called, but they rejected. In the second part of this parable, the slaves went out in the highways and byways, and they gave this invitation to all. And they received it. They accepted it. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Well, when it says that many are called, it means that many are called out of the world by God to partake in the gospel feast. But only few out of the world. Not out of those who are called. Right? God calls many out of the world, but only a few out of the world are actually chosen by God to partake. Now, don't run away yet because you hear the word chosen. No, I don't think anyone will run away here. But notice that the call to the feast, and there is a choice. There's a call and there is a choice. The call comes to all, and this call may be outwardly accepted. Like this man who was sitting in the banquet there without a garment. Outwardly, it seemed as if he was part of the whole feast and celebration. But he was not dressed in the right garment. And so the point is that the kingdom of God contains a mixture of good and bad. That's the call, the general call that goes out to all. A person may sit down to the feast of the gospel, and yet he may not be even part of the feast of God because he is not dressed in the wedding garment of converting grace and sanctifying grace. When I say converting grace, I mean the grace that God gives by, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of your own works. It is a gift of God. And so one may be in the church outwardly, but not necessarily within the church. But there's something important here, because the call is given to all, but only human beings can accept that call. In other words, the message is proclaimed, the gospel is given out, but there is this responsibility on the part of human beings to respond to that call. So we cannot leave out this aspect of the fact that human beings are responsible to respond to the call of God. And then when we respond to God's call, we must say that He is the one who has chosen. But there must be a choice that ought to be made. Many are called, but few are chosen. At all time and in all places, the gospel goes out. But God cannot respond for us. God cannot respond on behalf of human beings. Every person is responsible for responding to the gospel. And then when we respond, we can truly say that God is the one who has called us. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the final point I want to make here is this, that there is coming a day when God will examine not just the church as one body, but individuals, just as He saw this man personally there. Because each person is responsible before God for whether he or she is wearing this wedding garment, whether he or she will be acceptable. It's not in any church covenant or anything, but it is in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we are acceptable before God. And so we must put on the wedding garment. Many are called, but few are chosen, but we must put it on. That's our responsibility. So people cannot hide behind and say, well, God did not choose me. God did not, yes, He called me, but He didn't choose me. No, we're all responsible to put on the wedding garment. And so when we put on this wedding garment, we can say that we are truly God's children. We truly belong to Him because we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God for calling us. Thank God for the gospel feast that is prepared for us. And we look forward to the day when we shall gather together to celebrate this great banquet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us thank Him for calling us, and let us thank Him for choosing us to be with Him. But let us not say that those who have not yet come to Christ have not been chosen. This is a dangerous thing to tell someone that you are not chosen because you are not a Christian. No, we don't do that. We preach the gospel. We proclaim it to all. We urge people to respond to the gospel. We admonish them. We encourage them because God didn't make robots. But this is the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God who does the calling and God who does the choosing, but we must respond. And we would never be able to understand this mystery. But in the end, we must make this response to the call of the gospel. Many are called, but few are chosen. Even so, save us, O Lord God, for your glory and for your honor. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for calling us into your banquet. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to tell others about this glorious message, this glorious good news, that there is salvation, that there is joy in Christ. There is joy in believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you'll help us to make sure that each of us have this wedding garment, that we are dressed properly and adequately with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and all our own righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you have prepared for us. And we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you. Thank you for this time that we have spent here in your word. Bless your people. Bless everyone, I pray. In Jesus' name, give us a good rest tonight. Amen and amen.